free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It is the 1st of October. It's Tuesday, 2019. Harrison Smith sitting in for David Knight today, as I will be the rest of the week. Got a good show for you today. I got a lot of videos, and I got a lot of news. Mainly, it breaks down to a couple categories. I got impeachment news. We will be talking about that, but I'll save some of that till the second hour when I'm joined by Dave Roberts, author and owner of Defiance Press. You can find him at defiancepress.com. He will be joining me in the 9:30 time slot. And then we're going to talk a lot about China, because my God, is China up to some scary stuff. Yesterday was their equivalent of July 4th. It was their national holiday. They came out with some quite terrifying military technology, all sorts of stuff. Of course, the Hong Kong protest turned absolutely chaotic. We have video of a protester being shot at point blank range, graphic material. But you need to see this, because this is what happens when totalitarianism and authoritarianism are allowed to run rampant. We are that bulwark against the control of others. We are that voice of freedom screaming out in the darkness, hoping that everybody out there hears us. And of course, well, I got some other stuff too. It's going to be a good show. I got a lot of really good information. I've been doing quite a bit of research, and like I said, a lot of very good video clips. And in fact, I want to go to a video clip now. This is clip number 4, guys. This is the Stop the Madness compilation. This is from the GOP, the Grand Old Party, puts out this video, Stop the Madness.
I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country. Maybe there will be.
And if you see anybody from that cabinet, you tell them they're not welcome anymore, anywhere.
Look, when was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
A lot of f***ism of you. Okay, well, you know, this is cable.
Sorry.
Like North Koreans, dare I say, because they're marching in step, they're acting like North Koreans.
Trump is as destructive a person in this century as Hitler, Stalin, and Mao were in the last century. He may be responsible for many more million deaths than they were.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
I'm announcing the House of Representatives moving forward with an official impeachment inquiry.
Stop the madness. These people are crazy. Stopthemadness.gop. Am I crazy, or was that like a carbon copy of an InfoWars segment? Like, was that not a Darren McBreen montage to a T? I'm pretty sure Darren McBreen's come out with something like that like once a month for the past 2 years. And that's fine. That's fine. We're ahead of the curve on everything else. We'll be ahead of the curve on this too. You can go to InfoWars.com and see years and years worth of these montages, years and years worth of these compilations of the Democrats being utterly insane, violent, and unhinged, quite frankly. Stopthemadness.gop. Can't put it more simply than that. But, you know, just like we're around the curve on all this sort of stuff, well, we're also around the curve on China. And there's, like I said, people who aren't treating China as the threat that it is, don't understand the risk that we are at, quite frankly. And let's see, it is the 2-year anniversary of the Las Vegas shooting. It was an incredible time here in InfoWars. We had people coming in and out of the studio, constantly new information developing. I know a lot of new listeners and viewers tuned in at that time and discovered us because, you know, frankly, they were going to every other media outlet and they couldn't find information. And I heard so many times, I had InfoWars running all day, 24/7, because I knew if there was new information, you guys would be putting it out there. And you were the only ones. When we get back, Las Vegas, we'll go over it one more time.
In a world of deceit, Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Harrison Smith sitting in for David Knight on this Tuesday, the 1st of October, 2019. 1st of October, that is the anniversary date of the massacre in Las Vegas, there at the Country Music Festival, where gunshots rained down on innocent people, killing dozens, I believe. Absolutely brutal and senseless attack, basically from which there has never been a satisfactory conclusion. There's never really been a lot of information about it. As it was ongoing, we covered the information in real time. It changed drastically, constantly. Eyewitness accounts were contradicted the official story. It was an exciting and interesting time. And I think a lot of people woke up during Las Vegas. I think a lot of people have seen Las Vegas and looked into it and realized we are not being told the whole truth. So tragic event that we may never know the whole truth of. But here's what we know now. This report is by Greg Reese. This is the one-year anniversary of the Las Vegas massacre.
Famously, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, and that apparently applies to the Mandalay Bay shooting as much as anything else.
Within 2 hours of the Las Vegas massacre, authorities announced that 64-year-old Stephen Paddock had acted as the lone gunman, officially making it the deadliest mass shooting committed by an individual in the history of the United States. But 2 years later, there are still many questions with no answers. Videos from the event show no muzzle flash from Paddock's window on the 32nd floor of the Mandalay Bay Hotel. Photographs show that Paddock's windows were intact during the shooting. Police inside the room after the shooting said there was no broken window. After the shooting, a man staying at the Mandalay Bay called 911 and reported an explosion and glass falling down from above.
911 emergency, Brown 15968. Do you need police, fire, medical?
Okay, and I just heard what sounded like a explosion above me, and then glass coming down around me, or right outside the window.
Later that night, BBC television showed one window being broken. By the next morning, there were two broken windows. Several witnesses claimed there were multiple shooters.
Sounded like there were a dozen shooters.
It sounded like more than one machine gun.
The New York Excalibur shooting was right outside. It wasn't inside. It was outside. We saw the muzzle flashes.
I'm waiting for somebody to come through that entrance because it sounds like they're on the ground.
I knew we were getting gunshots that were closer to us than where they originally started, and that's when we knew we had to run.
We all started running, and they came in.
There's a shooter in front of Hollywood right now.
Multiple shooters.
Multiple shooters.
Multiple. It has to be.
There was also shooting going on inside of the Mandalay Bay.
Claims of multiple shooters can also be heard on security and police comms.
There was a shooter at the front desk of New York, and two shots were fired inside casino floor.
It sounds like it's confirmed there are at least two shooters with fully automatic weapons.
Now I'm getting information of an active shooter at Tropicana.
Has advised bomb squad to deal with the issue over there at Luxor, reference the 445 device.
It is be advised now there's an active shooter at the Tropicana, active shooter at Tropicana.
In one video, we see what looks like a weapon firing from a window six floors above Paddock's room in the Four Seasons, which is owned by Bill Gates and Saudi Prince Al-Waleed bin Talal. There also appears to be muzzle flashes coming from the sky on both sides of the Mandalay Bay, precisely where flight radar places three helicopters that turned off their transponders minutes before the shooting began while hovering in position overlooking the Route 91 Harvest Festival.
He's flying in a helicopter. Do you think he's in a helicopter?
Yes. Not a doubt in my mind that there was shooting coming from the helicopter.
In room 32135, Paddock's hard drive was suspiciously missing from his laptop. There were several pairs of gloves, mobile phones, and multiple hotel room keys used just 30 minutes before the shooting, including smart keys available only to hotel staff. At first, police said they witnessed Paddock kill himself, and then they claim they found him dead after the breach. And for some unknown reason, his time of death was marked at noon the following day. Mandalay Bay security guard Jesus Campos was supposedly shot in the leg by Paddock 6 minutes before he began his attack. And yet, it took law enforcement 72 minutes to get into Paddock's hotel room. Body cam footage shows a hotel security guard directing police to the 32nd floor.
32.
And less than 10 minutes later, directing other officers to the 29th floor. When the police finally get to Paddock's floor, hotel security seems strangely casual. One strolls down the hallway with his back to Paddock's room and points behind him to room 135. And they then stand calmly in the hallway with their attention fixed on the police. Hotel security manager George Umstadt was later found hiding in a hotel room and detained by police. And several key officers were never even questioned. Campos claimed he went to UMC Quick Care for treatment, but the facility stated they had no record of this. He then left the country and returned only to appear on the Ellen DeGeneres show, owned by MGM. MGM was granted a restraining order weeks after the shooting to prevent them from destroying evidence.
I can only think of two possible scenarios here. One, completely implausible, that the Mandalay was a co-conspirator in this, which is nonsense. Or right. Number two, there's some kind of hostility or a trust gap developing between law enforcement and the Mandalay. Nothing else makes sense, Tucker. There's no other way to square that circle.
One theory suggests it was Saudi Arabia. Just 3 months before the Las Vegas massacre, moderate Mohammed bin Salman, known as MBS, was made the crown prince of Saudi Arabia and was met that same day with President Trump's personal show of support. This created a civil war between MBS and his hardliner cousin, Al-Waleed bin Talal, co-owner of the Four Seasons, which resides on floors 35 through 39 of the Mandalay Bay Hotel. The theory suggests there was a failed assassination attempt against MBS at the Tropicana Hotel that night, and that the massacre at the Route 91 Harvest Festival was a savage message of warning to President Trump. Stephen Paddock was a pilot, and according to this theory, a gunrunner for Prince Al-Waleed bin Talal. This would explain Paddock's wealth and access to the service elevators at the Mandalay Bay. And when the assassination attempt failed, Paddock became Talal's sacrificial lamb rather than his getaway pilot. The prince had Saudi military helicopters in the area at the time. 4 weeks after the Las Vegas shooting, MBS had his cousin, Prince Al-Waleed bin Talal, and 10 other princes arrested on corruption and money laundering charges. We don't know if this theory is correct, but a year later, the case was closed. And we are told there is nothing to the story but the 64-year-old lone gunman with no motive, Stephen Paddock.
There's no conspiracy between the FBI, between LVMPD and the MGM. Nobody is attempting to hide anything.
For InfoWars.com, this is Greg Reese.
Really incredible stuff. Greg Reese knocking it out of the park once again. Folks, that's the video to share to your friends. That is the video to download, to re-upload, to share that link. Get this information out because this is what wakes people up. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, patriots all, to the David Knight Show. Harrison Smith sitting in for David Knight, wondering where to begin the show. I'm so sick of talking about impeachment, but that's what this whole stack of news is. So I wonder if I should get into that or save that for the second hour when I will be joined by Dave Roberts. We'll get into it a little bit because I have a lot of videos to show from it. So we'll see how many of those we can get through. Some are funny. Some are great. Some are going to make you angry. But hey, it's the morning. Let's get all the emotions out right away. It'll be fun. Trust me, it'll be fun. Of course, we have the story at Infowars.com, reposted from the Ron Paul Institute. Ron Paul, whistleblower impeachment or CIA coup? I think that boils it down basically to its primary component parts. And the reality is obvious. And in fact, in today's show, I will be showing you proof provided by the mainstream media that not all is as it seems. And in fact, the reality of the situation that this is a coup being enacted on a duly elected president by the unelected spy state, CIA, FBI, NSA, and others, is fairly obvious in just how they went about this. In fact, it's not even a speculation. It's not a conspiracy theory. The official story is that the CIA has people monitoring and watching President Trump and will come up with a concocted fake story to implicate him and get the impeachment ball rolling. And in fact, some of the information I've uncovered today makes me think that the Ukraine call was not only something they've been waiting for and used to as an excuse to put this impeachment movement forward. And they had to wait for this Ukrainian call because there were others that were similar, but they didn't have the aspect of Joe Biden being there, so they couldn't frame it as if Trump was doing this in order to get a leg up politically, right? That's the accusation, is that Trump is abusing his power by using the status of the office to get in contact with a foreign government, try to get dirt on his political opponent, Joe Biden. That's the accusation, right? Well, what happens when it turns out he's also been talking to Australia? What happens when he's also been talking to Italy? Well, you don't have that excuse, right? Joe Biden isn't involved in those two things, but Donald Trump was asking them exactly the same request. But they didn't whistleblow on that. No, they waited until he called Ukraine, and then they blew the whistle on that. So, I mean, that's the official story. And here's the other thing. Not only did they wait for this Ukrainian call so they could twist it to make it seem like what Donald Trump was doing was politically advantageous to him, or that was the reason that he was doing it. But I believe that there's actually another reason why they want to launch the impeachment investigation. And it, in fact, does not have to do with actually achieving impeachment, which they all know is an impossibility, especially with the Senate composed the way it is. And we'll get to all of this as we go throughout the show. But again, this is from Ron Paul, and he has a very skillful way of laying out the facts exactly as you need to know them, and not a lot of speculation, but just here are the facts and come to your own conclusion. He says, quote, "It may appear that the Democratic Party, furious over Hillary Clinton's 2016 loss, is the driving force behind this ongoing attempt to remove Donald Trump from office. But at every turn, we see the fingerprints of the CIA and its allies in the U.S. deep state." So I think that's an important distinction to make, that yes, the Democrats are the ones behind this. And again, I'll go through numbers in a second that lay this out. But really, the Democrats are useful idiots. They are the vessel by which the CIA and the deep state is the one enacting this. And just in case you're wondering what the deep state is, well, it's called the spy state. It's called the military industrial complex. It is composed of the alphabet agencies, the NSA, the CIA, the FBI. These are unelected, unaccountable, often secretive and anonymous actors in the United States government that, in fact, have greater power than the elected officials. So, again, this is not a conspiracy theory necessarily. I mean, they do conspire. This is, I would categorize it as a conspiracy theory. But in general parlance, it's not a conspiracy theory because it's just an accurate term to define a faction of our government that is outside the bounds of law, as laid down by our Constitution. It's unconstitutional actions by unelected people, meaning there's no recourse, right? They can do whatever they want. Not only do they not have to tell us, but since they don't tell us and we don't know and they're not elected, we have no way of expressing our will as the people as to what they're doing, as to what the government is getting up to. And in fact, let's go to this video now, which is the Stephen Miller. This is clip number 11. Let's do clip 1, 11-1 here. This is Stephen Miller calling out the deep state.
White House counsel's office and the House committees, I have no news, unfortunately, to make on that issue, Chris. But what I do want to say is that I think it's unfortunate that the media continues to describe this individual as a whistleblower, an honorific that this individual most certainly does not deserve. A partisan hit job does not make you a whistleblower just because you go through the Whistleblower Protection Act.
That's a good point. And, of course, what he's talking about is this is not someone who was affected by something they saw being wrong and thought, oh, I just can't let this stand. I need to blow the whistle for the sake of the Republic. No, this was a CIA operative placed there to supervise the president and make sure that president wasn't sticking his nose into places he wasn't supposed to, where he would discover corruption that could unwind the whole criminal facade, the whole criminal foundations and underpinnings of our current government. Let's go to this next clip again. Stephen Miller, calling out the deep state.
Both the Director of National Intelligence and the Inspector General said they also found his comments to be credible and a matter of urgent concern, and they turned it over to the Justice Department. All that, they thought that this was a credible complaint.
And they're wrong, Chris.
Well, on whose basis?
Chris, I've worked in the government now, the federal government now, for nearly 3 years. I know what the deep state looks like. I know the difference between a whistleblower and a deep state operative. This is a deep state operative, pure and simple. People who haven't been in the federal government, who haven't worked in the White House, may not appreciate this. But the situation is you have a group of unelected bureaucrats who think that they need to take down this president. I'll attend interagency meetings, Chris, where I know for a certain fact, if I don't invite the right people, the meeting will leak. If I don't say the right thing, they'll go to the Hill. If we propose a policy idea that they don't approve of, they'll work with Democrat appropriators to try to block it. They leak this president's phone calls. They publish hit pieces. They publish fake stories. They've been doing this continuously for nearly
3 years is how he finishes up that statement. And this is the situation in which we find ourselves, where we have antagonistic, anti-American operators within our government that are supervising, spying on, and actively undermining a duly elected president. This is a violation of the Constitution. This is a violation of every voter's ability to be represented in the way in which he or she chooses. It is disturbing how well entrenched this deep state is, and just how they act with impunity and seemingly absolute immunity, and how not only that, but the media is instrumental in covering up for them, in not investigating, not asking questions, just believing whole cloth exactly what they're told by their handlers at the intelligence agencies. And of course, we know through various operations, it's not Operation Monarch. I'm blanking on the name right now. It's not Operation Paperclip. Mockingbird. Thank you, Travis. Yes, Operation Mockingbird. We've known since the 50s. The CIA has had people in the highest positions of every mainstream media outlet. That is why this is not being treated as what it should be, a coup by the deep state against a duly elected president. We will continue with this coverage on the other side.
Using free speech to free minds, this is the David Knight Show.
Harrison Smith sitting in for David Knight. It is the 1st of October. We're going to continue with our coverage of this impeachment charade that's going on. And once again, stay tuned to this program. And by the end, I guarantee you, you will have a complete understanding of exactly what is going on with this impeachment nonsense. Because it's really quite obvious. If you just look at all of the information publicly available, it doesn't take a lot of speculation or, theorizing to figure out exactly what's going on. It's fairly black and white, I have to say. And I also have to say, I'll get to that in just a second, but I want to stick on this real quick, the Ron Paul article that, again, you can find at Infowars.com. He lays out, once again, sort of the trend that we've seen of deep state operatives, intelligence agency operatives, colluding to try to destroy Donald Trump. He talks about in August 2016 when a former acting director of the CIA, Mike Morrell, wrote an extraordinary article in the New York Times accusing Donald Trump of being a, quote, agent of the Russian Federation. He points out how former CIA director John Brennan accused President Trump of treason and, quote, being in the pocket of Putin. Brennan and his deep state counterparts, James Comey at the FBI and former director of National Intelligence, James Clapper, launched an operation using what we now know is the fake Steele dossier to spy on Trump's presidential campaign and even attempt to entrap Trump campaign employees. And he says now we hear the latest trigger for an impeachment is a CIA officer assigned to the White House who filed a, quote, whistleblower complaint against the president over something he heard from someone else that the president said in the Ukraine phone call. And then, of course, he says, as it turns out, the CIA whistleblower lurking around the White House got the important things wrong, as there was no quid pro quo or any such thing. I just like the way he puts that, you know, this CIA whistleblower just lurking around the White House. It's exactly what it's like. And then you have Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer once warned Trump that if you, quote, if you take on the intelligence community, they have six ways from Sunday at getting back at you. It's hard not to ask whether this is a genuine impeachment effort or a CIA coup. So, yes, Chuck Schumer made the threat. Now we are seeing the CIA bear it out. Maybe quote Chuck Schumer. I'll do his glasses. Yes, it is obvious. It is obvious that this is a CIA coup. And if you want to know why, the answer is right in front of you. From MSN.com, Barr, this is William Barr, Attorney General, personally asked foreign officials to aid inquiry into CIA FBI activities in 2016. Okay, so this is not Trump calling the Ukraine and trying to flex his muscle in order to get a political advantage. This is one of a one part of an ongoing process by which Attorney General and Attorney General Barr and President Trump are systematically investigating and uncovering the deep state operations being performed by the CIA and the FBI. So you have Barr personally asking foreign officials to aid inquiry into CIA FBI activities in 2016. And that's because the CIA and the FBI are utterly corrupt and cannot be trusted to investigate themselves, cannot rely on them for information. We have to go to foreign governments, but we do it the right way, not through shady dealings with the Five Eyes, not through Christopher Steele getting unverified dossiers and going to secret FISA courts and doing it the way that Obama did it. No, we're doing it the right way, which is having the president call their president and ask for assistance, or introducing, you know, their president to AG Barr and allowing him to go through the process. This is all above board. This is all exactly what a president should be doing. And this is the action of draining the swamp. This is the action of scattering the CIA to the winds. This is an offensive move against the deep state spy agencies who recognize the attack that they're under, recognize that their secrets are going to be exposed if they allow this to continue, and they are making a move to prevent that. Here from Infowars.com, the article, Barr asks Trump to reach out to other countries and criminal probe a deep state coup ring. This is a Fox News report directly contradicting a New York Times article. It says, quote, a Justice Department official told Fox News on Monday that Attorney General Bill Barr asked President Trump to for introductions to foreign countries that may have had information pertinent to U.S. Attorney John Durham's ongoing probe into possible misconduct by the intelligence community, the outset of the Russian investigation. So, again, this proves that Trump calling the Ukraine was not about trying to get a leg up on Joe Biden. This was what he called Australia in that way. Here it says when Barr was in Italy last week, he talked to law enforcement officials there about Durham's review. So we have at least three countries that we know of, Australia, Italy, and Ukraine, where our government is reaching out to get information about what our government was up to in 2016, what our spy state was up to in 2016. Trump pressed Australian leader to help Barr investigate Mueller's inquiry origins. President Trump pushed the Australian prime minister during a recent telephone call to help Attorney General William P. Barr gather information for a justice inquiry that Mr. Trump hopes will discredit the Mueller investigation, according to two American officials with knowledge of the call. So again, did this call happen before or after Ukraine? If it happened before Ukraine. Why was this not the whistleblower complaint? Well, because they couldn't frame it as if they were worried about him getting dirt on Joe Biden, right? They can't come out and say, oh, he's investigating, you know, our illegal activities by going to Australia. That doesn't work. So they had to sit on it. They had to go, oh, he's getting close, but we don't have anything to jump on yet. When he calls the Ukraine, then they have the political substance there that they can make this look like it's a political move and justify impeachment. And then, of course, it talks about how the White House has curbed access to a transcript of the call to a small group of aides. The restriction was unusual and similar to the handling of a July call with the Ukrainian president that's at the heart of the House Democrats' impeachment inquiry. But this is clearly going to hamper President Trump's ability to act as president, to conduct himself as the head of state. If he can't have confidential discussions with the heads of other foreign states over the phone, if they can't be trusted, these conversations are going to be, kept secret and not leaked to the media by a vengeful or coup-minded intelligence agency, it's going to be more and more difficult for President Trump to do the things that he was elected to do, be commander-in-chief and president of the United States. So this is, you know, in and of itself, this is obstruction of the president. But hey, they're fighting corruption, right? The discussion with Mr. Morrison shows the extent to which Mr. Trump views the attorney general as a crucial partner. The president is using federal law enforcement powers to aid his political process, prospects, settle scores with his perceived, quote, deep state enemies, and show that Mueller investigation had corrupt partisan origins. Yeah, you know, the Mueller investigation did have corrupt partisan origins. Maybe it wouldn't be a problem if instead of calling the Ukrainian president and asking for information about the corrupt dealings there in that country, maybe he should have just, hired a foreign spy to fabricate a dossier, go to a secret FISA court, and then actually put CIA and FBI agents on the tail of Biden. Maybe he should have tapped Biden's phone. Maybe he should have tapped the phone of everybody around Biden. Maybe he should have sent Russian agents to meet with Joe Biden's son in order to try to entrap him at a meeting in a tower somewhere in New York. I mean, maybe he should have done it by the book, right? Maybe he should have done it the way Obama laid the groundwork for, but he made a mistake. See, he's doing it by simply talking to the Ukrainian president. And clearly, one president speaking to another about corruption that involves both countries, that is a huge deal and requires impeachment. But all the stuff Obama did, that's a conspiracy theory, right? If you believe that, maybe you're the Russian. As part of his efforts, Mr. Barr in recent months has asked the president to facilitate communications with foreign officials and has made at least one trip to Italy to secure cooperation. Okay, so recent months he's been doing this. He's been going to Italy. He's been securing cooperation. He's been talking to the Australian prime minister. He's been talking to the Ukrainian president. He has been globetrotting, going around the world and gathering evidence for what has been going on, for this deep state international coup against the American president and, by extension, the American people. That is what's being fought back against. They're using Ukraine as an excuse, but really, it's a lie because we've seen he's asked Australia and Italy, neither one of which gives him a political advantage. So just because it happens in the Ukraine doesn't invalidate the rest of it. So, folks, we heard yesterday how the Democrats are having Adam Schiff at the forefront of this impeachment charade because he's such a reasonable and moderate person, right? He doesn't lie. He doesn't look like a bobblehead. No, he's somebody that Americans trust, and they know that he'll treat everything unbiased and fairly. Really, he's a trustworthy guy, and you can see it from his face. But unfortunately, Not everyone thinks that. In fact, we have this video here of Schiff. Well, he's squirming. He's squirming a little bit when he is confronted in public and forced to defend his positions, not behind the lights of CNN and the encouragement of the CNN anchors, but by regular people on the street demanding answers. Here's that video.
Hey, so why did you lie to Congress in the committee the other day on TV? Why did you make it up?
I'm here for a wedding. How about?
Doesn't matter. When I'm at home, I'm at home to watch.
I'm really not interested in talking to you.
Right? Why don't you just tell the truth when you're on TV about Trump, huh? You got to lie about it?
Have a nice day.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. You have a nice day. You have a nice day, too, Mr. Schiff. Old Mr. Schiffy. Now let's go to clip four. Let's go to clip five. This is President Trump and what he has to say about old pencil neck Schiff.
As you know, and you probably now have figured it out, the statement I made to the president of Ukraine, a good man, a nice man, knew, was perfect. It was perfect. But the whistleblower reported a totally different statement, like the statement, it was not even made. I guess statement you could say with call. I made a call. The call was perfect. When the whistleblower reported it, he made it sound terrible. And then you had Adam Schiff, who, even worse, made up my words, which I think is just a horrible thing. I've never even seen a thing like that. Adam Schiff, representative, congressman, made up what I said. He actually took words and made it up. The reason is when he saw my call to the president of Ukraine, it was so good that he couldn't quote from me because there was nothing done wrong. It was perfect. So Adam Schiff decided, I can't let this happen. So let me make up. Do you ever hear of this one, Gene? Do you ever hear of anything like this? So Adam Schiff made up a phony call, and he read it to Congress, and he read it to the people of the United States. And it's a disgrace. This whole thing is a disgrace. There's been tremendous corruption, and we're seeking it. It's called drain the swamp. There's been corruption on the other side. There's been corruption like you've never seen. Now, the new president of Ukraine ran on the basis of no corruption. That's how he got elected. And I believe that he really means it. But there was a lot of corruption having to do with the 2016 election against us. And we want to get to the bottom of it, and it's very important that we do. Thank you very much.
So President Trump there calling it a disgrace and pointing out how Adam Schiff lied about the substance of the Ukraine call. You know, maybe it'd be a lot easier for Schiff, I guess, if he had a recording of the call. Unfortunately, he doesn't, but it doesn't matter because he knows how wrong it is to try to get information from Ukraine to get political advantage. I mean, going to Ukraine, talking to somebody from Ukraine to get a political advantage and try to get information about a political opponent, that's unconscionable. It's unacceptable, quite frankly. And if only we had a recording of it. Clip number, what is this? Clip number two? Can we play clip number two, guys?
Hi. All right. I'm going to put Mr. Schiff on the phone, and then I guess are you going to transfer him to Mr. Parubi?
Yes, of course.
Great. Thank you.
Hi. How are you? Here?
Hello, Mr. Schiff. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Chairman. I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you.
I know that you work for investigation regarding Trump and Russian government.
No.
Yes.
We know some important information about it.
And that is documented as well in materials you want to provide to us?
Yes. Could I explain you where we are?
Yes, of course. But, you know, again, I would just caution that our Russian friends may be listening to the conversation, so I wouldn't share anything over the phone that you don't want them to hear.
No, I don't think that it will impact on our investigation.
Yes. Well, please, go ahead then.
In November 2013, Mr. Trump visited Moscow. He visited a competition Miss Universe, and there he met with Russian journalist and celebrity Ksenia Sobchak.
I'm sorry, can you explain that again? While he was in Moscow in November 2013,
So, in case y'all haven't seen this before...
she's poor journalist. But anyway...
What you're hearing now is Representative Adam Schiff on the phone with who he believes to be former Speaker of Ukraine's Parliament, Andriy Parubi. So it was, of course, in reality, two Russian shock jock radio DJs, but they got a hold of Mr. Schiff's phone number, called him posing as Ukrainians, this is about 2 years ago, and offered him dirt on Donald Trump. The call goes on for about 8 minutes, so we don't have time to show it here, but if you find it and listen to it, you will see that he is very happy to receive this information, very happy to make connections, to get his staff to start, conversing with these people and getting the exact details so he can present it later. This irony, this hypocrisy coming out of the Democrats is at a level that is beyond description. Okay. So what we just heard, it was a prank call, but in Adam to Adam Schiff's perception at the time, he believed he was in conversation with the former speaker of Ukraine, of the Ukrainian parliament, and he was debate he was negotiating with him about information about Donald Trump to use during the 2016 election or shortly thereafter. So that's Schiff on recording doing exactly what he accused of Trump doing, even though on the Trump transcript, there is no such thing. I mean, this is the hypocrisy. This is the double standard. This is the absurdity of exactly what's going on here. And Pencil Neck Schiff and Chuck Schumer, and they all know exactly what they're doing, exactly how hypocritical and full of crap they are, and yet they expect to shovel it down our throats without resistance. Folks, we are the resistance. This is what it's about. It's about getting this information out there to counter their disinformation. It's about breaking down the walls that are erected by mainstream media and the political class in collusion with the intelligence agents who are right now freaking out because Trump has their number. He's got them in the crosshairs. William Barr is going to Italy, to Australia, and to Ukraine, gathering information about the illegal activities, the treasonous, I would say, activities done by the intelligence agents, Hillary Clinton, Obama, the DNC, all the usual characters, and exactly what they got up to in 2016. They didn't protest when he talked to the Australian government about it. They didn't protest when William Barr went to Italy about this. They only protest when Trump calls Ukraine, because there is a political component to that, in that Joe Biden was one of the main perpetrators of the corruption. So they have the excuse to be able to say, see, Trump is doing this for political gain, impeachment, impeachment, impeachment. I mean, even normies out there, even people totally disconnected, totally unconnected, people that don't have Facebook or Twitter or anything, are still looking at each other and going, this is kind of ridiculous, isn't it? Doesn't anybody see how absurd this looks? Are we really supposed to believe that this is reality? That this is really how the Democrats are acting? Oh, Russia, Russia, Russia. Oh, I mean, Ukraine, Russia's enemy. It's so absurd. It's ridiculous. And yet it's all about the information. It's all about getting this knowledge out there and countering their blockade of knowledge. You help us do that here at InfoWars by going to InfoWarsStore.com. We are a battleship arrayed against the enemy, taking on fire day and night. But we are not just afloat. We are continuing full sail ahead, full steam ahead towards the enemy lines. And we're so glad you're right there with us. And you can power our ship. You can provide us the coal to shovel into our engines by taking advantage of our Black Friday Comes Early sale. 50% off all InfoWars Life products, 50% off preparedness materials. That includes storable food. Folks, if you've ever thought about doing it, now is the time. I know we have a lot of great sales, but this is the one where really you can get a little bit of everything, and it's all going to be much, much cheaper than it typically would be, and the prices are already low. Again, I'm not good at math. I don't get how we make money with these sales. Apparently we do, though. So you're still supporting us, and you're still getting a fantastic product, especially like the storable food, man. We'll talk about this, the Civil War, the upcoming Civil War that's been talked about in the next hour, hopefully avoiding that. But folks, if the worst were to happen, and in fact, we'll get into talking about China and the fact that they just came out with a nuclear missile that can reach America in 30 minutes, folks, there are an infinite number of disasters that could befall you at any time. When that time comes, well, it's too late. So stock up now. Be prepared now. If you never need it, hell, you never need it. You can eat that delicious food at your leisure. If you do need it, well, you better hope you have it. So go to InfoWarsStore.com, take advantage of those sales. And above all, go to band.video, especially share that Las Vegas video. You got to share that Las Vegas video because that will wake people up. It's short. It's concise. Greg Reese, once again, knocks it out of the park.
With the power of the First Amendment. It's the David Knight Show.
Second hour begins, folks. It is the 1st of October, 2019. It's a Tuesday. My name is Harrison Smith. I'm sitting in for David Knight today, just checking up on Twitter, see if there's any breaking news. I see Donald Trump has pinned a new tweet as of 2 hours ago, simply a picture of the electoral map with the words "impeach this" across it. The man is a troll, but he's hilarious. I mean, he's hilarious. It's still to this day. I mean, it's been 2.5 years. I still just get the slightest smile whenever I hear the terms President Donald Trump. Oh, what an unexpected turn of events, and what a chaotic 2.5 years. 2.5 years it's been since he burst onto the scenes, and it's come about exactly in the way that we have always told you. Right? This is not difficult to predict. Maybe it's hard to get the timeline exactly right because you don't know all the variables that the people involved are playing with. But we at InfoWars have called exactly how this would go down. And in fact, the resistance that we've seen against Trump has been so outrageous, so outsided, so overwhelming. And again, just integrally, integrated within the spy state, the deep state. It's all together, and it reveals the structure of the deep state, of the globalist control system that is being laid over all of us, right? When it comes to spying on President Trump, who, remember, since the moment Trump announced himself, he was the most dangerous thing that the spy state has ever encountered, okay? Because, and again, this is just something you can ask your friends that don't support Trump and just say, look, before Trump, let's pretend Trump didn't exist, and just say, like, don't you agree that the political system is a charade, that it's all completely controlled? Pretty much everybody with a thinking brain says, yeah, it's that, you know, Democrats versus Republicans. In the end, they all go over to the corporate interest. They lie. They don't do what they say they're going to do. Everybody knows it's a total charade. The two parties are used against each other. They're the internal machinations of it. Guarantee that somebody friendly to the party, friendly to the system, gets put in charge. You know, and if Donald Trump had never showed up, we would have had Jeb Bush versus Hillary Clinton in 2016, almost assuredly, looking at just the donations, all the sort of stuff. And so you ask your friend, you say, what would it take for someone, for an outsider, for someone not involved in the system, someone not perpetuating this false dichotomy, what would it take for them to get into the presidency? Is it impossible? Is it totally controlled? And the answer is no. The answer is, well, let's see, they'd have to have name recognition already. Okay. They'd have to be independently wealthy, so they wouldn't have to take funding and they could self-fund their campaign. Okay. They'd have to not be a politician. They'd have to be outside the political spectrum, so they haven't been corrupted or, you know, taken to one side or the other already, so they can be somewhat independent and not reliant on the DNC or the RNC. Okay. So that's three, right? They'd have to be outrageous and have to know how to use the media expertly. They'd have to, I mean, it's all these sorts of things. And it's like, before Donald Trump, you would have said, okay, so it's impossible. So the two-party system is here to stay. It's totally controlled. There's no way to break out of it. This is the prison that we're in. But here comes Donald Trump, and he checks every single one of those boxes. And not only is he independently wealthy, well-known, and he's not political in the sense that he never held political office, yet for decades he'd appeared in front of Congress. He'd given testimony in front of the House Judiciary or any sort of body of the Congress like that. He'd been involved in politics without being a political actor. He had, I mean, if you read Art of the Deal, since the early 80s, his days have been filled with dinners with the cardinal and, you know, appearances with this prime minister and this person. So he's got the experience to be an executive. He runs a huge bit. It's like, if it wasn't Donald Trump, it would have been nobody. So thank God we got him. All right, we're going to keep talking about impeachment on the other side. Don't go anywhere, folks.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, The David Knight Show.
Hour two, folks, of The David Knight Show. Harrison Smith sitting in for David Knight this morning and for the rest of the week. It's October 1st. It's Tuesday. And we're still talking about impeachment. We probably will be for a while. And of course, I actually have a lot of other really good news, and I'm excited to actually get through the impeachment stack because I'm going to move on to very important health concerns, very important spraying of chemicals over the United States concerns, and really probably the most important is the changes or the recent actions of the Chinese government, not just in the military technology they unveiled, but also the deadly escalations of the Hong Kong riots and protests. So we'll be getting to all that in the next 2 hours of the show. But we do have a little bit more impeachment discussion to talk about. In the first hour, I sort of laid down my argument that this is a reaction by the deep state, specifically the CIA, against President Trump, because President Trump is starting to go forward fully, pedal to the metal against the CIA because of what they did in 2016. So he goes out and he asks various countries. They only seem to have a problem with the Ukraine because they can twist it. They can make it look like he's doing it for political purposes, that he wants to somehow damage or get dirt on Joe Biden to beat him in an election. Frankly, I don't think Biden is going to be the nominee. I think it's a pretty sure bet on Warren. I would put money on that. Just quick note, it's going to be Warren. It's not going to be Joe Biden. Joe Biden is an embarrassment, and we're starting to see people, you know, Me Too protesters. His gaffes continue to get even worse. He would wither and fail on a debate stage with President Trump. I think they all know this. The people in the know are hedging their bets with Elizabeth Warren, which I think is a great idea, because I think that when Elizabeth Warren becomes nominee, the racial background of her career will be brought to the forefront and may expose much of the hypocrisy of the Democrats. And like we saw with what's his name, Charlemagne the God, that radio host, when he's like, "You're sort of the first Rachel Dolezal, aren't you?" I don't think that Elizabeth Warren's racial history will be exactly endearing to the black population in America. And that may be a problem for them, because the Democrats really rely on, you know, being sure to get 99% or whatever it is, 95% or whatever of the black vote. I think that just strictly her hypocrisy, Elizabeth Warren's hypocrisy, and just all that sort of stuff, I don't think it will sit well with the black Americans. And we could see a pretty significant drop in their support for the Democrats, which may, you know, open them up to coming over to the Republicans. Maybe they just sit out that election. That's just a prediction I make, because I think that her history and her past will not play well in the current racial atmosphere. So just a prediction, a little side note there on the upcoming presidential election, because I don't think that Donald Trump is particularly worried about getting dirt on Joe Biden. I don't think that's necessary for him to get dirt on Joe Biden in order to beat Joe Biden. I don't think he's going to have to beat Joe Biden anyway. I think what he's doing is getting information about corruption in the American government, and especially when it has to do with other countries and the interactions there. So he's not just going to the Ukraine to try to get stuff on Biden. He's going to all these different countries to try to get information about the treasonous activities of our deep state military industrial complex. Good stuff. House Dems argue that the Mueller grand jury secrets would help an impeachment probe over the Ukraine. Well, isn't that interesting? Might this be another little piece of the puzzle? Might this be another impetus, another reason that the Democrats would want to file impeachment proceedings, because they believe it will give them access to grand jury information, which is, as of now, classified and secret. House of Representatives argued in a new court filing on Monday that it needs information from the secret grand jury used in the former special counsel Robert Mueller's investigation to help its current impeachment inquiry of President Donald Trump. The filing is in its first major argument of the House. Is the first major argument of the House has made in court invoking the Trump-Ukraine impeachment inquiry, which is still in its early days. So this is like, you know, they're like, "We need this information. We need this grand jury information. Why won't you release it? Why won't you unredact it? We need this grand jury information. We need it. We need it. We need it." And they're like, "No, you can't have it." And I go, okay. "Well, we're going to impeach him for Ukraine. Now we need that information." And it's like, guys, you're really not fooling anybody. We get it. You want this information. But the first thing you do, the first filing that you make in this impeachment probe is to try to get the grand jury information that you've wanted forever. They just do whatever they need to get whatever they want. Okay, that's the Democrats in a nutshell. Do whatever you need to get whatever you want. Plain and simple. So if they have to, have the CIA spy on the president to provide fake justification for an impeachment proceeding, because then they can do the legal magic to mean that, you know, now they can justify getting the secret information that was forbidden to them before. They'll do it. They don't care. They'll do whatever they need to. This is all about destroying Trump. This is all about circumventing the legal parameters that our government is constricted by in order to put themselves forward politically. This article from CNN goes on to say, it's not clear why the House believes the details would illuminate this answer are hidden in the grand jury proceedings. The portion of the Mueller report about contacts with the Trump campaign about WikiLeaks is largely redacted because if made public, it could harm an ongoing matter. So even CNN is like, yeah, it doesn't really make any sense why this would have to do with the impeachment proceedings. It's just an excuse. It's just legal manipulation. It's just wizardry and magic. And it's absurd. But hey, they're going for it because essentially it's a do or die for them, right? If they don't do this, you know, if they do it, they look ridiculous. If they do it, their whole activity is exposed. Their whole strategy is revealed. But if they don't do it, they will be utterly destroyed. So they go ahead and do it, no matter how ridiculous it looks. And this is kind of another example of this. It's just another example of what the Democrats do. This is from Newsweek. Donald Trump's Civil War quote tweet is actually grounds for impeachment, says Harvard professor. So this is just like, it reminds me of the Beto thing where it's Beto like, we're going to come for your guns. And this other guy's like, well, if you do, the guns are ready for you. And it's like, whoa, well, that's a threat. He's threatening me. In the same way, it's like, we're going to impeach you. We're going to, you know, drive you out. We're going to destroy all your supporters. And Trump like, sounds like you want a civil war. And they're like, he's calling for a civil war. We need to impeach him. It's like, guys, imagine that. Okay, imagine this. Once upon a time, there's a man walking towards a cliff, and it's a straight cliff drop, and he's going to fall, and he's got a blindfold on. And he's just walking towards the cliff. And if he doesn't stop or he doesn't turn, he's going to die. He's going to fall. He's going to fall off the cliff, and he's going to hurt himself. And Trump sees this. Donald Trump is standing there. It's in Scotland, believe it or not, on his golf course. It's beautiful. And he says to the guy, hey, you're walking towards a cliff. You got to stop or you're going to fall off a cliff. And that guy takes off his blindfold, turns to the media and says, Donald Trump just threatened to throw me off a cliff. That's essentially what we're dealing with here, right? The Democrats are driving inexorably towards disaster, towards civil war. They're baiting us. They want more than anything for civil war to break out. Donald Trump just says, hey, you're walking towards the cliff, guys. You're headed towards civil war, whether you realize it or not. And they turn around and go, Donald Trump just threatened civil war. Donald Trump just threatened that man and said he would throw him off a cliff. That's essentially what's going on here, as far as I can read it. Harvard law professor John Coates argued that the social media itself was an independent basis for lawmakers to remove him from the White House. Since House Speaker Nancy Pelosi announced the inquiry, it's been reported by several news outlets. Okay, this is what I was hinting to earlier. It's been reported by several news outlets that at least 218 lawmakers in the House, which is the exact number of votes needed to impeach Trump, they support moving forward with impeachment. Here's the interesting thing. 218 people support impeachment. 217 of them are Democrats. Oh, but it's not partisan. Oh, but it's not political. No, they just love the Constitution and they love America. And they're just sweet, good, strong, God-fearing Americans. It has nothing to do with politics. Sure, 217 out of the 218 are Democrats. And the 218th is Justin Amash. But it's not political, folks. It's not political. How dare you say it's political? That's an insult to Joe Biden. Segment, I'll be joined by Dave Roberts from Defiance Press. He has written books that are sort of the fictionalization of what could potentially be a civil war like situation in the United States. And he's an expert, appears on international programs all the time. Very excited to get his input and sort of try to figure out exactly what this impeachment will lead to, what that might look like. Very excited about that. In the third hour, I will be getting into some very disturbing stuff about the spraying that is being done with pesticides, trying to get rid of this EEE, the Eastern Equine Encephalitis. And we'll learn exactly what the chemical is that's being sprayed over Michigan now to deal with this this thing. And essentially, Michigan is dropping nerve agents on its own population. You'll get all the details in the third hour, as well as the breakdown of exactly what China has been up to, including the revelation of a nuclear missile that supposedly can reach America in 30 minutes. And they say they have 10 of those, as well as some fairly graphic video from the Hong Kong protests that show live ammunition being fired point blank at protesters there, really highlighting the need, the importance of our Second Amendment, the importance of the liberties guaranteed by our Constitution, and why it's so valuable to hold on to these and not allow them to be taken by the tyrants, because it's a lot easier to hold on to them than it is to win them back from a heavily armed police state, essentially. But I want to go to this video. You may have seen it. It's Kamala Harris talking to Anderson Cooper, and essentially she wants big tech to censor the United States president. But that's not the only ridiculous thing she says in this conversation. So we'll go to these clips now. This is Kamala Harris talking to Anderson Cooper on CNN. Let's go to clip one.
The last time our country endured a civil war was over America's original sin, slavery. And if Donald Trump thinks that this is a moment where he's actually being held accountable for his failures as president and his failure to uphold the oath to protect the Constitution of the United States and our democracy, if he's equating that with a war that took place between American people over slavery, I mean, it is yet again evidence of the fact that he is delusional in that he has a very outsized sense of himself as compared to the history of our country and all that we have been through and all that we are capable of. So, you know, I just think what's most important is we not indulge his delusions and that we bring him back to reality. And I think the impeachment process will do that.
She sort of gives up the game there, doesn't she? She sort of gives up the game there, doesn't she? What is this impeachment about? Well, according to Kamala Harris, it's about teaching Donald Trump a lesson. It's about their perception that Donald Trump is just too full of himself, so they need to impeach him, to bring him down, to take him to task. It's absurd. She doesn't say, oh, we need to impeach him because high crimes and misdemeanor, because, you know, this is a catastrophic event, you know, equivalent to slavery or something like that. No, no, it's all about Donald Trump's ego, and they need to teach him a lesson. That is why they're impeaching him, according to Kamala Harris. But also, you know, just the idea of what in 100 years, looking back, 200 years, looking back at, you know, what's happening today. And let's say it does go down the line and become violent. And, you know, 100 years from now, I live forever and I'm in a tank and I'm talking to my great grandchild. And I say, and he says, you know, Dad, tell me, or, you know, Grandpa, tell me about what happened, you know, what led up to the Civil War. And I can say, well, the intelligence agencies had taken over the American government, and we elected Donald Trump to resist that and fight back for the American people, and they didn't allow him to do that. So we had to rise up and throw them out, and it was exciting, and I won all these medals. It'll be great. But, you know, if they win the Civil War, what would it sound like? You know, what would they say? What would be the reason for the Civil War? Well, this guy, Donald Trump, got elected, so we went to war. I mean, it's totally ridiculous. So reasons to go to civil war. Okay, let's compare the two. One, Donald Trump got elected and you don't like him. Okay, not a great reason. The other one, you elected a presidential candidate that won, that got in office and was constantly undermined, sabotaged, and eventually kicked out of office by unelected treasonous elements within the secret spy state that actually runs the government. It's a pretty good reason. It's a pretty good reason for a civil war. The fact that our government no longer serves its purpose is a reason to get rid of that government. Okay, let's go back to Kamala Harris, shall we? We'll begin at clip two.
President's tweets and his behaviors about this are just further evidence of the fact that he uses his power in a way that is designed to beat people down instead of lift people up. Frankly, when you look at what he's been tweeting today, directed at the whistleblower, directed at so many people, I frankly think that based on this and all we've seen him do before, including attacking members of Congress, that he frankly should be, his Twitter account should be suspended. I think there is plenty of now evidence to suggest that he is irresponsible with his words in a way that could result in harm to other people. And so the privilege of using those words in that way should probably be taken from him.
But does the privilege of free speech should be taken from the president. Folks, do you think your free speech is safe with a banshee like this in charge, with a savage, in the words of Donald Trump, like this running things? The president of the United States, she wants to deny him the so-called privilege of speaking. Do you understand how serious the situation is that we are in? And how much less powerful you are than the United States president? And he is being threatened by Kamala Harris to remove his speech. But in fact, let's continue that clip, because let's look at Anderson Cooper's response to this outrageous and frankly stupid suggestion by Kamala Harris.
Doesn't that, I mean, play into certainly the hands of, his, I don't know how many Twitter followers he has. I think it's in the range of 60 million who say, well, look, okay, now the rich folks in Silicon Valley are just trying to cut out, silence me and taking me off Twitter.
I'm sure that will be said, but we have to also agree that when the president of the United States speaks, her words are very powerful.
Her words.
And should be used in a way that is not about belittling, much less harming anyone.
Harming.
And this president has, I think, never fully appreciated that responsibility. And so what we see continuously, including in the last 24 hours, is a use of his words, Donald Trump using his words, in a way that could subject someone to harm. And if he's not going to exercise self-restraint, then perhaps there should be other mechanisms in place to make sure that his words do not, in fact, harm anyone. And that's my point. What we want to make sure is that his words do not actually result in harm to anyone.
Just
this? That's evil. You're looking in the face of evil when you look at Kamala Harris. This woman would deny the president, would deny anybody who opposes her the right to speak. And in doing that, in destroying your most basic human right, she would say, oh, it's for you, it's for your health, it's for your safety. Aw, I just care so much about you, you bitch.
Decoding the mainstream propaganda, it's the David Knight Show.
I feel like I'm walking down Bourbon Street again, late at night in my trench coat. I like that music.
All right, folks, welcome back to the David Knight Show. Harrison Smith sitting in for David Knight, joined now by author, publisher Dave Roberts. You can find his work at DefiancePress.com. His Twitter is at Texas Author, and you can also follow Defiance Press on Twitter at Defiance Press. Thank you so much for joining me this morning, Mr. Roberts.
Oh, it's been enjoyable so far this morning. You're killing it.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate it. I really do. And, you popped into my mind as one of the main, one of the first guests I wanted, guest hosting here on the David Knight Show. And you were really brought to my mind because about 2 weeks ago, I saw you on RT America. And I went back and looked at that today. And it was just kind of shocking to me because what you were on there about 2 weeks ago to discuss was the Kavanaugh allegations. And it just sort of puts in perspective the news cycle and just how, 2 weeks ago, this is the biggest thing ever. Kavanaugh, impeach Kavanaugh. And it's just craziness. And then we've totally forgotten about it 2 weeks later. And here we are now talking about the Trump impeachment and everybody's forgotten about the Kavanaugh nonsense.
Oh, it's crazy. But for somebody like me, I write political columns and and books, and there's a never ending supply of information coming out that's just crazy. But you know, I was laughing when I had to mention the Kamala Harris, because I unfortunately had to sit through and watch all the Democratic debates. But did she seem drunk to you in the last debate? Because she sure did to me.
Man, she is not doing well. I don't know what's wrong with her, but I mean, even in that last clip we just showed, she's got big bags under her eyes. She looks kind of greasy. I mean, she's not doing too hot. She might be going for that VP position, though. I think the Warren Kamala ticket will be obnoxious but entertaining for us.
You know, though, it's really getting pretty serious, though, Harrison. I mean, if you look at last night, I actually sat down and for those who haven't done this, I really encourage you to do it. Go read the actual transcript that Trump put out with the call with the Ukrainian president, because there's no there. I mean, right. It's just I don't know if you haven't noticed, but I'm sure you have. But there's not one time that anybody's mentioned a specific U.S. code that Trump violated in that conversation. So there really isn't one. And, you know, this will blow up in their face because the Senate, I don't care how far they get in the House, it's never going to pass the Senate to get a 2/3 vote in the Senate.
Right.
So, what you've seen is we're evolving from crisis to crisis with any attempt they can to remove Trump and to remove the results of the election from 2016, and they're grasping at anything that they can. And I mean, the world's upside down. It's just incredible what you're seeing, and the media break follows right along with them. And I've never seen anything like this. I mean, I'm getting old, and I have never seen anything like this Trump derangement syndrome we've had the last couple of years.
No, it's truly absurd. And I was saying yesterday that, you know, I'd love to be able to do a show that sort of anybody could watch. You know, I don't want to take one side or the other. I just want to present the facts. But it's like presenting the facts, you have to point out, look, one side is insane and also in bed with the intelligence agencies and also treasonous. And also they want to take your rights. I mean, there's no argument as to which side are the good guys here, even though I'm not sort of a diehard Republican, never have been a libertarian all my life. And so, but yeah, just covering the facts. They're so absurd, it's insane.
And yesterday, I pulled up the the Intelligence Community Inspector General. Pulled up the form that was available to a whistleblower the month before this came out, which specifically prohibited they would not consider anything that was not direct firsthand knowledge. They would not consider hearsay or information from a third party. And in the last month, that has changed. And now it's a checkbox, whether it's firsthand or secondhand, but it takes the information out that was in the form before that says that if it's hearsay, they won't consider it. And so you have to look at this thing and you have to believe that this was carefully crafted. This was in the works 3 months ago, and they knew this was going to happen. And this just goes to show you that the deep state has still got their tentacles, even in the West Wing of the White House. If you got the CIA in there, and poor Trump, I mean, at every turn, he probably doesn't know who he can trust.
Oh, certainly not. And if you heard the interview with Stephen Miller, he talks about himself going, look, if certain people are here, I can't talk about things because it's going to leak to the press. I mean, they know that they're being undermined. They know they have spies within their circle. But just going back to what you previously said just a second ago about how this is not going to happen. I have an article from news.yahoo.com. And actually, it's kind of funny because it's titled Why Trump's Removal Would Not Lead to a Civil War. But really, essentially what they're saying is he's not going to get removed. Their reason it's not going to lead to a civil war is because, as they say, quote, impeachment is highly unlikely. And then you also have McConnell saying, you know, I would have no choice but to take it up. Right. That's his job as Senate leader to have a impeachment hearing once it passes the House. But he's pretty confident it's not going to happen. It's not going to actually get through the Senate. I think everybody recognizes this. So what are the Democrats thinking? Do you think it has to do with what I was talking about, how now they're using the impeachment to try to get access to secret grand jury information? Is there alternative methods here, or are they just this delusional that they actually think they can impeach Donald Trump?
Well, you're looking at, I think you're on track with the cross discovery, because every new issue that they open with Trump, it allows them to spread their tentacles to other means of discovery that are in other countries. The Mueller report, it's unending where it can go. And so I you know, whether or not this is, you know, Nancy Pelosi there, you know, for all her faults, believe me, she's got a lot of them. The one thing that she can do is math, and she knows how many votes she's got. And I don't think she would have brought up this inquiry at all if she didn't think that she had the votes to actually pass articles of impeachment to the Senate. So I think this will probably happen, you know, as far, but it's never going to get past the Senate. So we'll see. But, it's to me, it's to keep these controversies in the news and keep them all the way through 2020. And how many we can get, you know, the next one's going to drop is somebody's going to, you know, I've been predicting for 2 years that Trump's tax returns are going to get released by some rogue deep state IRS employee, like what happened to Nixon. Yeah. And that'll come out, and that'll be a whole nother furor over what he did pay or what he didn't pay or what his legal deductions he took. So that's coming also. And there'll be a certain time when that's going to come up, and Harrison, look me back up, because I promise you that those tax returns are going to get released sometime in the campaign season.
Yeah, I would not be surprised in the slightest. We know that the New York Attorney General, I believe it's the Attorney General or the Secretary of State, maybe, were subpoenaing the IRS for his tax returns, not just on the national level, but local and state governments are trying to circumvent the law and trying to release this type of stuff. So I wouldn't be surprised in the slightest. And, you know, they could already have the tax returns and just sort of have it as the bullet in their holster and are waiting to reveal it at the right time. Right. So I think you're exactly right. Now, you've written several books that are sort of set in a fictionalized future, sort of a parallel timeline in which things don't go as well as they're going now, let's say, and society breaks down. So I do want to talk to you about what you think about this specter of civil war. We have Donald Trump tweeting out that his impeachment may lead to civil war. I think that's a fair reading, quite frankly, with what I know of Trump supporters. I want to get your view on that.
Well, you look at all of the elements that are coming together at the wrong time. First of all, we'll talk about the Second Amendment issue. That alone can cause us. If let's say Elizabeth Warren gets elected, and there's a there's these encroachments into the Second Amendment, or Beto gets his wish, and they confiscate guns, or they try to confiscate guns, I think that would be.
And Biden is saying the same thing now.
Yeah, I think that would be one of the emphases. But now look at the trifecta we've got. We got that Second Amendment issue. And what most people don't realize, and I'm a student of history, if you go back to the Civil War in 1860, when, you know, and all these procrastinators think that the Civil War was caused to end slavery, which it wasn't. But they in 1860, Abraham Lincoln was.
Hold that thought. More on the other side with Dave Roberts. Don't go anywhere, folks.
I'm ready.
All right, we're back. We're getting right into it. Harrison Smith sitting in for David Knight. My guest today, David Roberts. You can find his website at defiantpress.com. His Twitter is at TexasAuthor. I don't know how you managed to snag that one. And his other Twitter is at DefiancePress. Now, you were talking before the break. You got cut off by the commercial. You were talking about the lead up to the Civil War in 1860 and maybe some of the modern parallels or not parallels, but the modern contradictions that are different than the Civil War. So what was that comparison that you were making?
It's the disenfranchisement that happened. So 11 states in the South in 1860, Abraham Lincoln didn't even bother to get himself on the ballot. Right. So you had an entire section of the country, region of the country, that was completely disenfranchised with the 1860 election. So the parallel that I draw is today, if they succeed in getting Trump out of office, then they basically disenfranchise 60 something million people who voted for Trump. And that's not going to be good. I mean, so we talk about that, and we talk about the we have an extremely illiterate civic society because of our education system, because, you know, we've taken God out of the mainstream. We have the morality, and there's no consequences for people before or after they commit a crime. And so I think that that it's very ripe for that kind of situation. I think you'll see things deteriorate pretty quickly. So I'm with them on that. If it goes that far, I think that we're going to have some serious issues, maybe issues that we've never had before.
Yeah, I completely agree. And, you know, when you're talking about disenfranchisement, what pops into my mind is how they're trying to get rid of the Electoral College. That would essentially disenfranchise, you know, 70% of the population, because, you know, you just have these major population centers that would essentially decide for everybody else. So they're trying to get rid of the Electoral College. They're trying to undo the results of the election. They are robbing us of our constitutional rights. And at that point, it's not it's a duty we have as Americans to reset our government and get it back to the way it's supposed to be. And I think your point about education, civic education, is right on hitting the nail on the head.
Yeah, and listen, this whole argument with democracy, that, you know, and even here Republicans and so-called conservatives, you know, say the United States is a democracy. Right. It's not a democracy. It's a constitutional republic. And there was, the founders had a specific intent for this not to be a democracy. In fact, I was just reading last night a speech by Woodrow Wilson, who said that a democracy, he preferred a democracy because it took away the rights of the individual and for the rights of the whole community.
Right.
So that's a code word. When we hear the word, that when we see the left and the politicians from the Democrats, the socialists say that this is about the democracy, what they're really talking about is the evisceration of individual liberty and the rights of the commune. And there's a great article in American Thinker. It's called it's a Republic If We Can Keep It. It's a couple years old, but it's something that last night I was sharing with folks because it's really well written and it goes through this. But I promise you, when they say that we are a democracy, it's a code word for taking away our individual liberties. In fact, you see today where the city of New York yesterday passed a law that says if you say the word illegal alien, they can fine you $250,000.
And running roughshod over the First Amendment.
Yeah, I don't think that'll survive a court challenge, but it's just the audacity of that. Of course, you don't see the American Civil Liberties Union speaking up this morning and defending that right of free speech. I mean, the word illegal alien is codified in the U.S. code when you're talking about immigration law.
Right.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, no, it's the criminalization of the truth. I talked about yesterday on the show yesterday how hate speech is really the criminalization of the truth in a lot of ways. And so we're seeing the destruction being wrought on the First Amendment, on the Second Amendment, on the Third Amendment, on the Fourth Amendment. And then these people have the audacity to stand up and saying, we just love the Constitution. We just care so much about America. It really infuriates me, the hypocrisy and just the sheer lying that we see go on. But beyond that, you know, you talk about civics and education and learning what's happening. Because what I see happening now is we're in this big, beautiful house that is America. And the foundation stones are all these things that we now take for granted, the Electoral College, the constitutional republic system, free speech, you know, all these sorts of things. And the people around us are tearing up the foundation because they don't understand how to build a house. You see what I'm saying? They don't understand the reason that this stone is here, so they see no problem in tearing it up. When in reality, they're weakening the whole structure and the whole thing's threatening to collapse in because they haven't been taught what the foundation is there for, why it's important that it's here. So they think getting rid of it is just no big deal. What do you think about that?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you got the foundation's gone, then listen, this is how socialism happens in other countries. They tear up their heroes. They become civically illiterate. They start taking from one group and giving to another group to buy votes with. And listen, that's the path that we're on. And we better wake up because it's I've never seen it this bad. And I've never seen the erosion of the civic literacy like we see it today. I mean, you can ask, and I'm not picking on the millennials because there's a lot of great millennials, Harrison.
I'm a millennial, Dave.
You know, but when you go on a college campus and you can't find, you interview 15 people and you can only find one that knows what the three branches of government is, or that, you know, World War II, you know, that we didn't fight the Germans in the Civil War. I mean, it's just craziness. And you can see how, and I heard a really funny thing last night on one of the news talk shows about the reason why they're passing all these weed laws in contravention of federal laws is because if you're just dumbing down society. So, you know, they just get laid back and they'll take whatever we give them. And
right.
There's probably some truth to that.
Yeah, it's like Soma from Brave New World, right? Just better a gram than a dam, right? Don't be angry, just get high, right? That's the idea. And I'm in favor of marijuana legalization, but I do think there's a danger in what they're basically just like, there's no problem. It's great. It's great for you. There's nothing wrong with it. It's like, well, no. It'll make you lazy. It'll screw you up. It should be legal, but we should be honest about it. But yeah, well, I think you're exactly right.
Look at Hong Kong. Here we got Hong Kong, and I just wrote an op-ed on Town Hall about this a couple of weeks ago. Hong Kong, yeah, they're marching in the streets to keep the liberty that they have.
Right.
And they're marching with 1776 flags, the Betsy Ross flag, the Gadsden flag, the American flag, and they're looking to us thinking that we're the beacon of liberty. And actually, if you look at the World Economic Freedom Index, Hong Kong's number one. The United States has dropped to 12 or 13th, and it's not even in the top 10. And so they're actually, under communist rule, they're actually more free. They've been more free than we have. You see this starting to change. And I think yesterday they shot a protester. So these rights that we have are taken for granted. And, you know, you get a couple of million people in the streets of Hong Kong to protect their liberty. Here, we're all worried about who's playing on the NFL on Sunday. If they're not taking our constitutional rights away, you couldn't put 100,000 people on the street. They'll show up for a Dallas Cowboy game, but they're not going to show up for to protect their constitutional rights because they don't know what they are.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, it's, you know, maybe it's just human nature, but you know, to only recognize the value of a freedom once it's been taken from you, like the Hong Kong citizens now are. You know, are understanding how valuable the freedom is because it's being taken away from them. And, you know, maybe that's the fate of America. It's like only once all of our constitutional rights have been stripped from us will we look around and go, maybe we should have fought for that. And then the fight will be that much harder. So that's why we're trying to make the stand now, right? That last stand, the Alamo stand now, to stop it from going forward so we don't have that incredibly difficult climb back up. Now, Dave, how can people find you? What's your latest book? Are you working on anything? I know your books are.
Yeah, we just had this one. This one just came out. Okay. The Death of Liberty, the Socialist Destruction of Our Freedoms Using the Income Tax. And I've actually gotten death threats over this. This is nonfiction.
Yeah.
This is 2 years of research in all different types of sources, the Library of Congress. But it details how the income tax is the tip of the spear for the deep state. And how they go after us with our freedoms. It also, the one I've gotten the most press about is the illegal alien migrations at the border has been a gold rush. And we've actually uncovered and explained how since 2004, $192 billion has been paid in EITC tax credits to illegal aliens. That's yours and my tax money for dependents that they don't even have, and in many cases, dependents who are not even living in the United States. And the IRS turns a blind eye, Congress turns a blind eye. They've known about this, and I've actually gotten death threats over this particular issue. No, so,
well, I know every book you come out with comes with its own litany of dangers for you yourself. I know you've sort of been through hell publishing the books you have, whether they're fiction or nonfiction. You've been harassed by the government, by the deep state itself. You've powered on regardless. That's why they fear you. That's why you're such a powerful weapon arrayed against the deep state and those that would deny us liberty. Thank you so much for joining me. Dave Roberts, everybody. DefiancePress.com. His Twitter is @TexasAuthor. Thank you so much for being with me this morning.
Thanks for having me, Harrison. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. All right. Third hour of the David Knight Show continues in just 1 minute. Don't go anywhere.
Engineering the high-tech takeover plan. This is the David Knight Show.
Famously, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, and that apparently applies to the Mandalay Bay shooting as much as anything else.
Within 2 hours of the Las Vegas massacre, authorities announced that 64-year-old Stephen Paddock had acted as the lone gunman, officially making it the deadliest mass shooting committed by an individual in the history of the United States. But 2 years later, there are still many questions with no answers. Videos from the event show no muzzle flash from Paddock's window on the 32nd floor of the Mandalay Bay Hotel. Photographs show that Paddock's windows were intact during the shooting. Police inside the room after the shooting said there was no broken window.
I do not have a broken window.
After the shooting, a man staying at the Mandalay Bay called 911 and reported an explosion and glass falling down from above.
911 emergency, Brown 15968. Do you need police, fire, or medical?
Okay, and I just heard what sounded like a explosion above me and then glass coming down around me or, you know, right outside the window.
Later that night, BBC television showed one window being broken. By the next morning, there were two broken windows. Several witnesses claimed there were multiple shooters.
Sounded like there were a dozen shooters.
It sounded like more than one machine gun.
The New York Excalibur shooting was right outside. It wasn't inside. It was outside. We saw the muzzle flashes.
I'm waiting for somebody to come through that entrance because it sounds like they're on the ground.
I knew we were getting gunshots that were closer to us than where they originally started, and that's when we knew we had to run.
We all started running, and they came in.
There's a shooter in front of Hollywood right now.
Multiple shooters.
Multiple shooters. Multiple,
it has to be.
There was also shooting going on inside of the Mandalay Bay.
Claims of multiple shooters can also be heard on security and police comms.
There was a shooter at the front desk of New York, and two shots were fired inside casino floor.
It sounds like it's confirmed there are at least two shooters with fully automatic weapons.
Now I'm getting information of an active shooter at Tropicana.
Has advised bomb squad to deal with the issue over there at Luxor, reference the 445 device.
It is be advised now there's an active shooter at the Tropicana, active shooter at Tropicana.
In one video, we see what looks like a weapon firing from a window six floors above Paddock's room in the Four Seasons, which is owned by Bill Gates and Saudi Prince Al-Waleed bin Talal. There also appears to be muzzle flashes coming from the sky on both sides of the Mandalay Bay, precisely where flight radar places three helicopters that turned off their transponders minutes before the shooting began while hovering in position overlooking the Route 91 Harvest Festival.
He's flying in a helicopter. Do you think he's in a helicopter?
Video continues.
Yes.
Greg Reese, very talented reporter here at InfoWars, made that video for the second year anniversary of the massacre there in Las Vegas. This is one of those events that red pills people if they start paying attention to it and asking questions about it. That video itself has the power to open the eyes of millions of people if only they can see it. So, you know, if you don't want to go to InfoWarsStore.com, maybe you don't have extra money, maybe you don't feel like buying your toothpaste from us or you want to try out the Turbo Force, the next best thing you can do is go to band.video and share that link. Band.video is where these videos go up. It's where you can live stream these shows. The quality is as good, if not better, I would say, than YouTube. Folks, people talk about, oh, we need to create alternative networks. We need to get away from big media. People need to create their own websites. We aren't just saying it. We are doing it. Help us to spread this info. Help us to spread this message. Do it for free by sharing the links at band.video. And let's open some eyes, people.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Harrison Smith sitting in for David Knight on this, the 1st of October, 2019. It's a Tuesday. So happy to be with you here today. We've talked a lot about impeachment over the last 2 hours, and I think we've exhausted the topic. I think we've done pretty good job of revealing exactly why, the motivations, the goals, the tactics of those that would rob us of our liberty, as well as our ability to choose those who rule over us. Okay, so we're going to move on. We're going to move on to some other top stories that you really need to know. And we'll start off with China. So today, I believe it's the October 1st, is their sort of July 4th. It's the 70th anniversary of the modern nation of China. Of course, China is one of the world's oldest civilizations. It has been a well-populated landmass for a very, very, very long time and has done a fairly good job of being a continuous, contiguous state. But in 1949 is when Mao Zedong declared the People's Republic of China. And now, 70 years later, they are on the cusp of being the new world power, possibly even surpassing the United States, as we continue to be diminished by the globalists who continue to prop up China in favor of a country that is far more totalitarian, far more technologically controlled, enacting things like the social score and others. You know, in China, it's not uncommon for you to be crossing the street, and if there's not a crosswalk, you get a fine instantly as a text message, because the facial recognition scanners will identify you, fine you, and then send it directly to your account there of the messaging system that they all use. So it is the mark of the beast. It is the fabled revelation prophecy that says that essentially you will not be able to buy or sell anything without the approval of the beast and without the mark of the beast, which is, in short, a node implanted into your hand, possibly into the side of your head. Now in China, they have vending machines that don't take money. They just scan your face and you get something out. I mean, this is the paradigm of complete control. This is the Chinese model that the globalists are hoping to enact worldwide. Terrifying, dangerous stuff, made only, you know, made all the more urgent considering the showing, the presentation that was put on yesterday, the 70th anniversary of Communist China. 15,000 troops paraded, 160 aircrafts, and 580 pieces of equipment were paraded through Beijing, and they unveiled a couple terrifying new things. They have a hypersonic missile they call the Dongfeng 17. It's an intercontinental range weapon, which is basically a warhead in low Earth orbit. It can travel at hypersonic speeds to its target and is capable of changing its direction in air, which makes it impossible to counter, they believe, with something like the Israeli Iron Dome. It would perhaps be able to evade those defensive measures. And they say they have nuclear weapons, 10 of them, that can reach the United States in 30 minutes. Folks, 30 minutes away from nuclear annihilation at the hands of the Chinese, should they decide to do such a thing. The article's from thesun.co.uk. China has unveiled the ultimate doomsday weapon during one of the nation's biggest military parades. This terrifying super nuke took center stage at a huge arms showcase held in Tiananmen Square, Beijing, to mark the 70th year of communist rule. So there you go, folks. That is the model that the globalists are trying to enact worldwide. They favor China for its pretty much heartless ability to control its people. They're jealous of that control. They want to exercise that control over everybody. The problem is human liberty is awakening worldwide. We see this on display in Hong Kong, where waving American flags, the people of Hong Kong have been protesting for months against the increased influence on that country by China. And in fact, this weekend, it was a real big clash there on the streets of Hong Kong. Now, we have this report from Paul Joseph Watson today, Infowars.com. Chinese troops massing in Hong Kong for potential total breakdown in order. China has doubled the number of its troops stationed in Hong Kong, as one expert warns that the soldiers could be preparing for a total breakdown in order. China has, quote, now assembled its largest ever active force of the People's Liberation Army. Troops and other anti-riot personnel and equipment in Hong Kong. So tens of thousands of soldiers. They said it was just a routine soldier movement. Well, in fact, they are being massed at the border, preparing for an imminent invasion of Hong Kong should the protests continue. Speaking of the protest, we have video now. It's not particularly graphic. You don't see blood, but this is. You will see clearly and without a doubt, without argument. This video here you're about to see is a Chinese police officer shooting a protester in the chest, point-blank range, with a revolver. We can go ahead and show that video now. Found on NewsWars. There he is, and that's the fire right there. Turns it towards the chest of the protester. The protester sweeps with a stick of some sort, and there you see the muzzle flash of the revolver as it hits the protester in the chest. And we actually have an alternative view of that. The one you just saw is actually the better view, but we do have an alternative view, so there can be no question as to exactly what occurred here. We have a group of protesters, heavily armed police officers in riot gear, run up to them, smash into them, step back, pull a revolver, and fire into the chest of the protester, who there you can see collapses to the ground. The gun is then turned on somebody trying to help him. He is bashed in the head by the revolver, and he's taken down. And then it looks like a Molotov cocktail is thrown. I mean, these are revolutionary images. There's the injured protester on the ground. It is turning into a violent revolution there. And folks, when you ask why people of America need their guns, it's because that's the other option. The other option is to be gunned down at will by your government with absolutely no recourse against that. Hong Kong police fired tear gas and rubber bullets at pro-democracy protesters who were throwing petrol bombs in the Asian financial hub on Tuesday, as its Chinese ruler celebrated the 70th anniversary of the founding of the People's Republic. The South China Morning Post and television reports said at least one person was wounded in the chest by police firing rounds. Police did not respond to requests for comment, but they have said they fired live rounds into the air in previous clashes. So in case you're confused as to how the government operates, you see, you protest against them. You aren't allowed to have guns. They approach you with guns, they shoot you, and then they deny it. So that's the operation. Order of operation there in China, and it will quickly be the order of operation here should we ever be disarmed like the Democrats would like us to be. 15 people were wounded across the territory of Hong Kong, one critically, the hospital authority has said, without giving too many details. Of course, Xi Jinping comes out giving a speech during this, as the Daily Mail calls it, spectacular ceremony to mark 70 years of communist rule. And he says, quote, no force can shake this great nation. He unveils this top secret hypersonic DF-17 missile and unrest in Hong Kong. This is a biblical time to be alive, ladies and gentlemen. This is the crucible of history. This is the, if you know about sword making, crucible, it's the hottest part of the process where it's really determined what the strength of the blade will be and whether the blade will be shattered and fragile or whether it will be flexible and strong. And it's in that crucible, at that hottest moment, that the fate of the blade is decided. Well, that's where we as a civilization, we as a race, a human race, find ourselves right now in this high-intensity sort of it's like a hot cold war. I mean, things are happening all over. We're seeing it all escalate. And folks, should we come out of this on top, we will be stronger and more flexible than ever before. But the other danger is that this leads to what could essentially be the end of life as we know it, not because of some boogeyman like climate change, but because Xi Jinping has developed nuclear missiles that can hit the U.S. in 30 minutes and cannot be stopped. Maybe that's something we should be worried about. Maybe we should be marching for that. But who, what do I know? Go ask Greta Thunberg. She seems to have it all figured out. We're on the other side, folks. You may have seen this video, folks, that we're about to play for you here. You can find it on band.video, Infowars.com, or NewsWars.com. I believe it's also been posted by Paul Joseph Watson. It's a video of Antifa protesters screaming at and blocking the path of an incredibly elderly woman walking with a rolling walker. This video is out of Hamilton, Ontario. I have some shocking news about this clip. Let's go ahead and play this clip right now. There for the radio listeners, you see an elderly lady. She's got a rolling walker. She's shuffling ahead, trying to use a crosswalk, and she's being blocked by members of Antifa chanting things like, "Go home, Nazi scum." Harassing the old lady, yelling at her, and not letting her pass. Now, Nazi scum off our streets. That's what they're yelling at the lady's face from mere feet away, getting closer to her as she tries to squeeze past. Clearly, this little old lady is a fascist. She's a danger to everyone around her. Now, the shocking thing about this, and I just learned this from the national authorities here. If you're watching this video and if it makes you mad, if you would say you are anti what's happening in this video, if you see this video and decide that you don't like what's going on here, then I guess I have to ask you, why do you hate Jewish people? Why do you think that black people are inherently inferior to you? Why? Why do you think that? Oh, you don't know what I'm talking about? Well, all you have to do is reference the ADL, because the ADL now says that anti-Antifa images are hate symbols. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. If you oppose Antifa, you're a white supremacist. If you see a video like that of Antifa harassing and getting in the face of a little old lady and calling her a Nazi scum, oh, you're a white supremacist, according to the ADL. The ADL writes on their website, and you can find this article on Infowars.com. The ADL writes, quote, "Although white supremacist animus is often thought of as being directed against religious, racial, and ethnic minorities," and I know that might be what, you know, the term white supremacist seems to indicate, right? The definition of it might seem to be exactly what they just laid out, but they say it may seem that this animus is directed at religious, racial, or ethnic minorities, a significant portion of their hateful rhetoric is directed against the political left, including both the mainstream and far left. So if this doesn't expose exactly what this hysteria over white supremacy is all about, then I'm not sure what will. This is the amazing thing. This is the incredible thing from this article. Again, the article is ADL says anti-Antifa images are hate symbols. To not like Antifa makes you a white supremacist, according to the ADL. Not just that, they've actually come up with a word for it. Let's see, you have Islamophobic, you have homophobic. What do you think the new term is? What do you think this new invention of the ADL is called? Well, I'll tell you. It's called sinistrophobic. Sinistrophobic. I don't know what the root word of sinistro is, but they're saying white supremacy, anti-leftism is sinistrophobic. Now, it is interesting that the first part of that word is sin. I'm not sure how much that has to do with it. But there you go. Now, if you don't like leftists, you aren't just right-wing, you aren't an informed, intelligent, conservative person. No, 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 you are a hateful bigot whose bigotry and bias is built on fear. That's what phobic means, fear. And that also kind of gives away exactly the methods and the manipulations that these people use, because what they're really saying is you fear this thing, and what do we know fear is born of? Ignorance. So really what they're saying is that you're just too ignorant to know that you should love this thing. That's what they mean when they say Islamophobic or homophobic. And what are they? You need to educate yourself. Educate yourself, because they believe that if you are enlightened, if you are intelligent, then you'll like all the same things that they like. If you don't like what they like, it's because you're scared, because you're stupid. That's the mindset they have. And so now they've invented a new word, meaning anti-leftism, sinistrophobic. Sinistrophobic. It doesn't roll off the tongue, but I don't think that really matters. But, you know, I've been awakened to this. Now I understand that being against Antifa, and in fact being conservative at all, it's just white supremacy. And I've learned that now, and now I know that. So I thought, what else is racist? What else is white supremacist? And of course, there's a long list, and I have some of them here. This professor says that algebra and geometry perpetuate white privilege. Okay, that's good. I never liked math anyway, so that's good to know. The way we teach kids table manners is racist. Okay, so manners and math Those two things are racist, I see. This gender studies professor says that time is racist. I believe that was a TED talk she gave. So, okay, time, math, and manners are all racist. Here we have a nice little presentation where they list out for us characteristics of white supremacy. Perfectionism, a sense of urgency, defensiveness, quantity over quality, worship of the written word. What does this even mean? Excuse me. Only one right way. To believe there's only one right way of something, that's racist. Oh, everything? Is everything racist? Paternalism is racist. Either or thinking is white supremacy. So not just thinking there's one right way, thinking there's two right ways is white supremacy. Power hoarding is white supremacy. So stop hoarding power, you white supremacists. Fear of open conflict is white supremacy. What? So peace? Does that mean peace is white supremacist? Okay. Here's the big one. Individualism. That's right. Individualism is white supremacy now. Good to know. I'm the only one. That's one of the things listed as white supremacy. Again, just what does that even mean? Progress is bigger. That is not a sentence. That's not even a thought. Progress is bigger means nothing. What are these people even talking about? Right to comfort is one. Okay, so comfort is white supremacy. Math is white supremacy. Peace is white supremacy. Individuality is white supremacy. Defensiveness is white supremacy. And above all, objectivity. Objectivity, they say, is white supremacist. So are you starting to see through the smoke screens here? Are you starting to understand why they want to portray things as white supremacist, why they want to demonize white people and then associate all the things that empower freedom with white people and attempt to get the population itself to separate itself, to deny the things that make life good, deny the things that make you a powerful, independent individual, right? Individualism, okay? Pulling yourself up by your bootstraps, knowledge, love of the written word, aka appreciating the fact that we can look back in our history and become more informed, and that we like book. No. It's all white supremacy. It's all. If you want to fight white supremacy, you need to love collectivism. You need to love. You need to not love math, I guess. But above all, you need to be pro Antifa. You need to be pro Antifa. If you are anti Antifa, you're a white supremacist. That's what the ADL is telling you. No wonder nobody respects them.
Decoding the mainstream propaganda. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Harrison Smith sitting in for David Knight. Folks, here's a question. How do you know if a hate crime is a hoax? It's a pretty simple answer, honestly, if you've heard of it. If it's been reported, it's not real. It's a hoax. And this pattern has been borne out time and time again. I mean, literally, when I heard about the latest hoax, which was that a black girl was held down and had her braids cut off by some white kids in middle school or high school or something, I didn't even open it. You know, you just look at the headline, you just go, no, that didn't happen. And you just move on. And then the next day, sure enough, what do you know? Lo and behold, hearken unto me, there is no such hate crime. It just didn't exist. Story at InfoWars.com, New York Times removes race context after black girl admits faking hate crime. This is that second half of the story, right? The first half is that the hate crime itself was a hoax. And of course, we can get into that with Jussie Smollett and the idea that these people are committing false flags, essentially. But typically, when you think of a false flag, you think of organizations working together, coordinating an effort in order to falsify an act and then blame it on somebody else. It used to require that. Now, in the modern media landscape, people know, leftists know, if they claim a hate crime, if they claim Trump supporters did something bad, the media will run with it. They will report it. They will amplify that message without questioning it, without researching it. Okay, so they know they can commit fake hoaxes, hate crime, false flags with complete immunity. Impunity, essentially, because the media will just run with it and will report it. And sure, they'll issue a retraction later, but nobody will pay attention to that. People will just remember the fact that they read about a hate crime, and they'll hear about hate crimes rising, Orange Man bad. We get exactly how it works. But the second level of that is that when the New York Times issued their correction, revealed that the hoax was fake, well, they stripped the race from the context, right? So when the story first goes up, it's black Virginia girl says white classmates cut her dreadlocks off on playground. Black girl says white classmates. However, when it was revealed to be a hoax, when it was revealed to be fake, when she was revealed to be a liar, what do they say? The follow-up story, the headline read, quote, Virginia girl recants story of boys cutting off her dreadlocks. Okay, not black girl recants her story of white boys. No, 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 that's not important anymore. Now that it's fake, you can find that story at Infowars.com. Interestingly enough, the 2018 Bureau of Justice statistics have come out. Now, white people are about 60%, a little bit more of the American population. Blacks are about 13%. What do you think the interracial crime numbers look like with that sort of population disparity? Well, you may be surprised to learn, ladies and gentlemen, that according to the Bureau of Justice Statistics 2018 survey of criminal victimization shows black-on-white violent crime is increasing. As she writes, blacks committed 537,200 of those interracial felonies, or 90%, and whites committed 56,394 of them, or less than 10%. So the actual stats about interracial violence are 90-10 blacks versus whites. Strangely, none of them were hate crimes. It kind of weird, kind of strange that out of the 500,000 interracial crimes of black people against whites, not one of them was a hate crime. Who knew? Who knew? And of course, you hear constantly, of course, that white people are the dangerous people. You know, we need to be stopped. We need to have our guns taken. White supremacy is just threatening to kill everyone instantly. It's we're right on the cusp, quite frankly. And what you always hear is that there has been a rise of hate crimes, that Donald Trump's presidency has caused a rise of hate crimes. Everything. Hate crimes are just on the rise everywhere. People of color, non-white people, non-Christian people, they just are constantly being attacked by these out-of-control white supremacists. Now, why do they say that hate crimes are increasing? Are they? Are they increasing? We're receiving accurate information? Or is the reality much more simple? And it's from Politico or PolitiFact? Hold on. This is from PolitiFact.com. Data from the new BJS hate crimes statistics briefing, which is different from the FBI data, shows that there's a significant decrease of hate crimes overall. From 2014 to 2017, latest available, they plunged 25% in 2015, and they stayed almost flat from 2015 to 2017. So that's kind of strange, right? We're hearing that hate crimes are on the rise. We're hearing white supremacy is on the rise, yet the statistics seem to show that they are falling. Well, what causes this disparity? What causes the lie? Well, the analysis of victimization numbers done by this woman, a statistician at BJS, indicate that reported incidents, which are reflected in the FBI data, have increased, while unreported incidents decreased by 40% from 2014 to 2017. So essentially, when they say there's a rise in hate crimes, it's because there is a rise in reporting of hate crimes to the FBI by the local police. It's not mandatory of them. A lot of places don't report hate crimes to the FBI. As that number of people who report hate crimes to the FBI increases, apparently the number of hate crimes increase. But the reality is the number of hate crimes has decreased 40%, but it appears as though they've increased because the reporting of it by police to the FBI has increased. Okay, have we clarified that? Are we all up to date on the hate crimes? All right, I'm going to move on. I'm just going to get some headlines in this last couple minutes, and then I've saved my favorite story for the last segment, so don't go anywhere after this, but I'm going to just tear through some of these headlines in the next couple minutes. According to NPR.org, GOP retirements have spiked, diminishing the hope of retaking the House majority in 2020. This is a very big danger. We need people out there. We need you. If you're listening to this, we need you running for office. We need you finding a candidate who can run for office. I should have talked to Dave Roberts about this while he was on. I want him to run for office. We need MAGA patriots in Congress to support President Trump. We cannot just go quietly into the night. We cannot just allow our numerical advantage to be circumvented, to be overruled by the liberals and just give up because for so long the GOP has been infested with this globalist contagion. We need to root it out. We need to get rid of the traitors. We need to reestablish the Republican Party around an America First agenda. We need to get people into office. We need to stop the Democrats in their suicidally destructive attempts to tear down every aspect of our constitutional rights. Drug makers pursue new plan to wrap opioid suits, essentially Johnson & Johnson, Teva, Endo International, Allergan, and Mallinckrodt, I don't know how to pronounce that, are all pursuing this. Basically, they all saw what happened to Purdue Pharmacy, are worried about their culpability in the opioid crisis and are desperately trying to settle these lawsuits before they are all bankrupt. What else do we have? Oh, I thought this headline was great. Prince Harry tells the world to end human, quote, greed, apathy, and selfishness. Well, is he a missionary now? Is he spreading the Christian belief of lack of greed, of empathy, of not being apathetic, of not being selfish? Is this a religious and specifically Christian outreach program that he's doing? No, I'm sorry. It's about climate consciousness. Climate consciousness. This is the new religion, folks. Climate change, climate, quote, consciousness. This is the new religion. They're using religious terms. They are justifying their desire to better humanity, not in terms of the everlasting soul or the glory of the infinite God, but of the worship of the physical, the worship of the temporal, the worship of Earth over humanity. It's a new religion. It's just not a good one. More on the other side. Best segment. An airplane flew low over southern Van Buren County Monday evening. A News 8 crew noticed an aircraft flying low over one of the spray zones in the Lawton area around 8 p.m. The aircraft flew in a back-and-forth east-west pattern, starting in the northwest part of the spray zone and moving south with each pass. Nothing could be observed coming from the aircraft in the dark sky, and nothing was seen hitting the ground. There was no noticeable odor left behind. It's likely residents not looking for the aircraft didn't notice it, but some were. This aircraft was spraying insecticide, was spraying pesticide. It was piloted by the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services, who have decided to spray poison into the air after animals in 14 counties were found to have the Eastern Equine Encephalitis disease. It can be deadly when contracted by humans, and it's been blamed for 3 deaths already this year. So we have 3 deaths from EEE, Eastern Equine Encephalitis, as well as animals becoming infected. And so the Michigan Department of Health and Public Safety has decided to spray poison to kill the mosquitoes. But don't worry, state health officials assure the community that the spray is safe. Oh, well, if they assure you. The chemical is being released as Merus, M-E-R-U-S 3.0, an organic pesticide with 5% pyrethrin. I'm going to call it pyrethrin. That might be wrong, but forgive me. Which is found naturally in some chrysanthemum flowers, the health department says. Officials say the mixture is deadly for mosquitoes and some other pests, but it's safe for humans and pets. That's right. It comes from chrysanthemums, It's basically flowers. They're basically just flying over, dropping flowers on the population, right? I mean, that's what's going on here, right? Well, maybe not so much, but they do say that it's totally safe for humans and pets. Guys, if you could do me a favor, go ahead and pull up Google on screen there, and if you could search the name of this, it's MERUS 3.0. Can we see the results of this search here on screen? I'd love to know what it is. Go ahead and bring up the search. I want to see the search actually take place, because if it's similar to what happened to me when I searched this earlier this morning, it's an interesting result. The first thing that you get from Google. Let's see. What's the first thing it says there? Maris, put 3.0 after. Go ahead and Maris 3.0. There you go. Organic pesticide. Scroll down a little bit. What's that there in the too high. Go to the first result. Let's see the first result. A little bit more. Up. Okay. Stop. Down. That first result. Hazard to human and domestic animals. That's what it says. There you go. All caps. Precautionary statements. Hazardous to humans and domestic animals. Well, that's kind of strange, isn't it? Isn't that a little bit bizarre that you search this Maris 3.0 that the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services has, assured us is safe? It seems strange that the first result would be all caps, hazardous to humans and pets. But I'm sure I'm just confused. And, you know, this is about the environment. This is about public safety. This is all about taking care of the people, the reason they're dropping this poison. But yeah, Maris 3.0, it says can cause allergic reactions. It can be hazardous to humans and pets. Now, I assume the amounts that they're dropping over Michigan are probably not at a high enough dosage to be dangerous to humans outright. It is, however, incredibly deadly to honeybees. Incredibly deadly to honeybees. So, you know, That's fine, right? I mean, that's fine. It's not like honeybees the world over have their populations collapsing, right? It's not like in China people are having to hand pollinate crops because the pollution has killed all the bees there. That's not happening. I mean, honeybee populations aren't on the decline or anything, right? That's not something we should take into consideration while we drop these nerve agents all over Michigan, right? So, you know, we don't want to get bitten by mosquitoes. So, you know what? The honeybee population, it's just got to go. They just got to die. It's not like they do anything important, right? It's not like human life itself depends on bees. That's not the case, right? No. Okay. So, obviously, I need to tone back the sarcasm. But to be perfectly frank with you, yes, they are dropping nerve agent that is incredibly deadly to honeybees. So they're probably wiping out, you know, incalculable amounts of honeybees, which are crucial to the production of our crops, the pollination of plants, the world around. I don't see where it was here, but essentially it's fine. You know, it's fine as long as it doesn't affect honeybees, you know, and as long as it doesn't get into water supplies, because it can be a problem when it gets into water supplies, because it does affect fish and sea creatures pretty badly. Does anybody know if Michigan has a lot of lakes? You might know if Michigan has a lot of lakes. What's the nickname for Michigan? Is it the Lake State? Is it the Lake State? Yeah. I'm pretty sure the nickname of Michigan is something like the Great Lake State. But I'm sure that's all fine. All they're doing is dropping nerve agents over the lakes and all over Michigan. So the main active ingredient in this Maris 3.0 is pyrethrins. And again, I'm sorry, I'm probably not pronouncing that right, but pyrethrins excite the nervous system of insects that touch and eat it. This quickly leads to paralysis and ultimately their death. Pyrethrins are often mixed with other chemicals to increase their effect. Great. That's great. Yeah. That's fine. And yes, I mean, technically, it has been shown to cause cancer in the liver of rats when they're subjected to high doses. and dogs. I mean, rats and dogs, okay? So they've been fed low to moderate daily doses, and, you know, there were effects to the thyroids in the rats and the liver of the dogs. In another study, rats breathed in low to moderate doses daily for several months over at low doses. Damages to tissue along the nasal and respiratory passages was observed. So, yeah, they also say that subjecting humans to this can result in asthma-like symptoms if the results are high enough. Children are especially sensitive to the pesticides. But you know what? We don't like mosquitoes. So we're just going to go ahead and drop nerve agents all over Michigan. We're going to kill all the honeybees. We're going to poison the lakes and affect the nervous systems of the fish there in the lakes in Michigan. Do you know that the L.A. Lakers used to be in Michigan? That's why they were called the Lakers. A little fun fact for you there. Another fun fact, L.A. doesn't have any lakes. Pyrethrins are practically non-toxic to birds, but they're highly toxic to honeybees. However, some of the risk to pollinators is limited by their slight repellent activity and rapid breakdown. Pyrethrins are highly to very highly toxic to fish and are also very highly toxic to lobster, shrimp, oyster, and aquatic insects. So, yeah, that's what's happening in Michigan, folks. You have this equine encephalitis, eastern equine encephalitis. It's killed three whole people. Therefore, they are going to drop nerve agents over the entirety of the state. Pyrethrins delay the closure of volt-gated sodium channels in the nerve cells of insects, resulting in repeated and extended nerve firings. This hyperexcitation causes the death of the insect due to loss of motor coordination and paralysis. So that probably doesn't do anything to the human brain, right? They're not messing with humans, are they? No, just the insects. This is something I thought you should know about. And there you go, folks. That about wraps it up for me today in this edition of the David Knight Show. I will return to the chair tomorrow. I'm sitting in for David until Thursday, and then Greg Reese will be taking over on Friday. David Knight returns on Monday, folks. Everything we do here at this show, at this network, everything we do is possible only because people like you, viewers like you, go to InfoWarsStore.com and make purchases. Go to InfoWars Store today. It is the final day, or these are the final days of the Black Friday 2 months early sale. Double Patriot points, free shipping on all items, 50% off all InfoWars Life products. That includes Ultra 12, the incredibly popular B12 formula, 50% off everything, including InfoWars Life Select Storable Foods. The Alexa Pure Pro Water Filtration Unit is $50 off. It's $80 off the Breeze Air Filtration Unit. Take advantage of these sales. Support what we do. And if nothing else, if you want to do something for absolutely free, band.video. Band.video. Bookmark that site. Visit that site and share those links.